Father, thank you. I know you're always here. Let them see you today, Father. I don't have you. Whatever I think I have to say is insignificant compared to what you have to say. God, I give you honor, praise, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Yes, yes, yes. No place I'd rather be. I'm going to tell y'all something. This is different here. I've preached here. I've been here most of my life, but today is different. I ain't slept. I ain't ate. I'm dead serious. It is different. Things are changing, amen? Woo! We're going to get into it. I'm going to tell you something. If you're new here, I will tell you up front, the leadership here is fantastic. Outstanding, nothing like it. Some of y'all might be still thinking, well, you know, let me tell you something. Y'all heard, you know, our pastor, first lady, are at the Potter's house today. And that's exciting. No, but allow it. Clap for that. That's exciting. But why? Why is it exciting? I'll tell you something real quick. This has nothing to do with our message. Well, it kind of does, actually. You know, when I thought about that, and he told me, he said, Bishop Jakes has asked me to preach. I said, awesome. He said, on Sunday. I said, what? Sunday. I said, whoa. Now, in our faith, Bishop Jakes is getting it done. I mean, I'm telling you, he's getting it done. Like, I mean, from an evangelical standpoint, huge. This man called our pastor said, you're authorized to come feed my flock. Oh, that's a big deal. And First Lady has taught on this stage not once, but quite a few times. That's huge. So why are you still checking him out? Why are you still wondering if what he's saying from the pulpit is true? Why are you still wondering why, well, maybe it don't work for me? If Bishop Jakes has said, yes, they're certified, I'm a stamp them. What's wrong with you? So what's happening when Pastor said, come Wednesday night, how can you be like, well, I don't know, I'll see if I'm going to get there, right? Oh, I know it's tight, but it's right, amen? I'm telling you, the leadership we have here is phenomenal. These elders that are sitting down front, they have changed my life. Y'all give them a hand, please. They have invested their lives in this place. Their lives. Elder Charlotte showed some pictures of what it was like here back in the 80s. Oh, my goodness. Different, but the same. Different, but the same. And a lot of these elders, a lot of these people, they were here praying for where we are right now. Touch your neighbor and say, this is a special place. There's elders in here I know of right now. So the leadership is, I mean, it crosses all different boundaries. We have older leaders, we have younger leaders. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the seasoned leaders, I found out that there are some of them that sent some of the younger leaders to college. Paid for their, you know, their schooling. And one, they weren't independently wealthy at the time. But they said, I'm going to invest in them. God bless my socks off. They don't jump on Facebook and nothing like that. They just did it because it was the right thing to do. Amen? These elders, there's elders that are, they might not be here every Sunday. They're in the prisons preaching. They're in the prisons preaching. You don't know about it because they ain't got the cell phone going like, look where I'm at. They're not doing that. They're just doing the work. Amen? Touch your neighbor and say, this is a phenomenal place. This is good ground. And again, if you ever wondered about it, if Bishop Jakes is saying you're qualified, not to just do the announcements, not to just talk about it, you know, not to give it up, no, I'm talking about he's feeding the flock on the sun. That is, I can't even express to you how big that is. Amen, amen. So I hope you got your Bibles out, because it's go time. This is going to bless your socks off today. I'm telling you, it reminds me of a time. I'm 6 foot tall, but I got the arms of a person that's like 6'4", right? 37-inch arms, and I always have trouble getting dress shirts. So a friend of mine said, you know what, you ought to go custom, get a custom dress shirt. I said, oh, okay, let me try it out. So I go to the spot, and they took 47 different measurements. I said, whoa. He said, yeah, because your body moves in different places, and this shirt will be customized to you. I said, whoa, it'll stay tucked. It won't jump out. And guess what? You always look good in it. I said, sign me up. So the word today is customized for you. You ain't going to have to hide nothing. You ain't gonna, it's going to be customized. Whatever you move, it's going to be right there for you. Amen. It's customized for you. You're not getting no warmed over word. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't have preached this today. I would not have. If it was up to me, I had a completely different message. But God said, you better say what I tell you. And I said, yes, Father. So what you're getting today is customized for you. Also, as a side note, I always wonder, now, I'm real, I'm not honest, I'm real, all right? I always wondered why when preachers come up, there's always someone that's helping them and they bring their stuff up to anything. Y'all ever wondered that? I'm like, is he not capable of carrying his bag? I used to wonder that all the time, right? Well, until today, my hands are full walking up here, and I said, Chris, can you put this up? There's always a reason. There's always a reason. There's always a reason. And often it might just be that simple. Get off your high horse. That man of God wasn't being stuck up. His hands were full. Amen? I'm trying to tell you. Stop listening to everybody else telling you about this preacher, that preacher, this preacher, that preacher. Listen to what God is telling you, amen? So what I'm going to say today is an echo, but it's also, God, it's going to, oh, let me stop. All right, Spirit, hallelujah. It's go time. You've got your mark. You've been set. Now it's time to go. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36, 33. Shout revival. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Y'all, let's stand for the reading of the word. Ezekiel. Come on, y'all. If you gotta say amen, if you don't say hold up. All right, hurry up. It's hot. It's all right. It's all good. We're gonna get y'all. I'm gonna get y'all out of here. You know, I don't be playing that. Shoot, it's hotter than fish grease outside. All right, verse 33. And this is what the sovereign Lord says. When I cleanse you from your sins, I will repopulate your cities, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The fields that used to lie empty and desolate in plain view of everyone will again be farmed. And when I bring you back, and when I bring you back, and when I bring you back, people will say, this former wasteland is now like the Garden of Eden. The abandoned and ruined cities now have strong walls and are filled with people. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, revival is here. This word is actually a continuation of a series that I didn't even know I was participating in. Had no idea. I told you I would preach something completely different. I had no idea. God said, preach that. Then when I laid it out, he said, this is what I want you to say. I said, use a bad, bad God. Starting with First Lady, she came and she preached about determination. Y'all remember that? Turn this place upside down. And she talked about the determination of the Shunammite woman. Amen? That's you got your mark. Then Pastor came and preached what? Frequency. Did he tear this place apart? Change your frequency. You've been set. Set your frequency to hear from God. And then Bishop Bismarck Matuta, oh my Lord, he just came here and set this place off. He talked about revival's coming. I'm here to talk about revival's here. It's go time. So we're going to begin in the first book of Ezekiel. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Calm down, y'all. I'm going to get y'all out of here. But we're going to talk about it now. All right? And y'all, elders, pray for me today. Pray for me. This word is something. It's such an interesting scenario because no matter how many times you go before God, He never ceases to amaze me. It might just be where I am in my walk, but I'm just telling you, He just never ceases to amaze me. When you think you got it, He says, go this way. And you're forced to just follow Him by faith. Amen. I'm a person of preparation, and I'm prepared. Don't get it twisted. I'm prepared. But I'm not over-prepared to the point where I won't hear the voice of God. Amen. So we're going to start a little background here. So the book of Ezekiel, actually studying it out, it became one of my favorite books. There's war everywhere. The 12 tribes of Israel, right, have split into two kingdoms. Y'all with me so far? How many kingdoms? Two kingdoms. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, they've split. Couldn't get along, all right? Actually, it came from Davidson. We won't get into that, all right? And while this is happening, there are two major superpowers in the region. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, if you will, and the Egyptians. And they were going at war all the time, trying to figure out who was going to be the bigger superpower. Y'all with me? Say amen. By the way, I'm an audience participant, preacher. I'm going to need y'all to say amen. So let's test that out. Say amen. One more time, say amen. Y'all don't go to sleep on me now. Come on now. Amen. I promise you, I'm going to get with y'all just a second. I got to lay this out so you know where I'm coming from. So you got these two superpowers that are fighting in Judah, okay, which is the southern kingdom, is in the middle, okay, in the middle. Praise is where? In the middle. So Babylon decides they're going to attack Judah. And the reason that they did that is they wanted the neighboring nations that couldn't defeat them to pay what's called tributes. Basically, they came and took Judah's lunch money. Amen? Say that ain't right. Took their lunch money. And guess what? Judah paid it. Until they didn't pay it anymore. They said, I'm not having this. And guess what? The Babylonians came again. And this time they said, we're not paying no tribute. They came and they flattened the land. And they took thousands of their inhabitants and took them to Babylon. Thousands of them. And in that group were three of the major prophets that you read about. See, I didn't even know they were all connected, so I really started searching this out. Daniel, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they're all three contemporaries, all surrounding the same time, preaching in different parts of the country. Amen? So here you go. They're casualties of war. So y'all know about Daniel and the lions, Daniel and all that. You heard all those stories. But I'm going to tell you how they became connected, and we'll get on with this here. So Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of the Babylonians, he comes in, raises the land, and says, you know what, I'm not going to just have y'all pay tribute. Y'all didn't do that right. So then they came in and basically said, I'm taking all of the doctors, all of the lawyers, all of the cooks, anybody that can help grow this land, I'm taking them with me. And I'm taking the king and all his royal family. And he left in Judah all the people that he felt were insignificant. Amen? So understand what's going on right now. So Jeremiah, who was a prophet, he left him in Judah. So when you read the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, that's all from Judah. Amen? Daniel and Ezekiel, he took with him. They went to Babylon, 500 miles away. So that would be like some war breaking out. They take us here, because we're all smart and sharp, and they move us all to Atlanta. Amen? Atlanta's a little bit farther, but you get my point. Because at the time, Babylon was a cultural center of the world. It was popular. It had it going on, amen? If it could be done, it was happening in Babylon, amen? It was one of the largest superpowers, and it wasn't just big, they were culturally advanced. They had figured out, they had perfected the Egyptian system of irrigation in the middle of the desert. If y'all ever heard about the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, right? Seven ancient wonders of the world, that's where it came from. These folks had it going on. Look, your neighbor said, they had it going on. So we pick up the story. Daniel is a POW, prisoner of war. He makes it up into the King Nebuchadnezzar's high court. Y'all know that story. But our person here that we're going to study, Ezekiel, he's a POW, but he ain't in the high court. Some of those people that they took with them, they made them slaves. Ezekiel was one of them. Y'all with me so far? So now we got this prophet of the Lord that's a slave, and they weren't just normal slaves in the house, they were field slaves. They were working by the river, carving out the canals for the irrigation system. It was muddy, it was hot, it was them Middle Eastern mosquitoes, you know what I'm saying? The real big ones, right? There was disease everywhere. They were rationing their food. They got 8 ounces of food a day. And they had to figure out clean water for themselves. It was difficult. And it was in this time that God said, I'm going to do some work here. So we pick it up. That's the background. So we pick it up, verse 1, chapter 1. So this is Ezekiel. Now, he's been in captivity for 6 years. Say 6 years. And he had studied to become a priest. Y'all with me so far? I'm going slow for a reason now. Y'all gonna get this, please. He studied to become a priest. Now, in the Jewish family, in the Jewish law, priest was a big deal. You know what I mean? People like, oh, he's a priest. He walked around. And it was just a high step. You know, it was kind of like being a doctor is today, right? It was in the Jewish law, Jewish family, being a priest was a huge deal. So he was studying to be a priest. But you couldn't actually become a priest until you were 30. So when you pick it up here in Ezekiel, he's actually turning 30. And he's excited because now, even though they're slaves, he's going to become a priest until God said, no, you're not. God said, now he calls him to become a prophet. So what's the difference? Everything. Y'all with me so far? A priest and a prophet are completely different. See, a priest is with the people and then he orchestrates to God. But a prophet is with God and he orchestrates to the people. Completely different. Completely different. How many of y'all have ever had a plan and God got you a plan? You thought you were going to preach, but he said, oh no, you're going to carry this broom and clean the floors in the church. You thought you were going to be up front, but no, he said, you're going to be in the back. Or you thought you were going to be in the back, and now you're in the front. Amen? That would be me. When this church first started, Pastor said, Glenn, I want you to run children's church. Actually, he didn't say, I want you to run children's church. He said, you're going to run children's church. I said, so you're just going to volunteer me, huh? Is that what you're going to do? And he did. And what's interesting about that is I didn't like children. I didn't like my own children. They got on my nerves. I was always eating and messy and all that kind of stuff. I didn't like them that much. But God will wreck your plan, amen? So God is wrecking Ezekiel's plan. And this is a huge difference because now he cannot sit with the people that he's been working with side by side for 6 years. He's got to go become a prophet, get with God, and most of the time when a prophet is speaking, he is telling people something they don't want to hear. Y'all got to understand something now. So it's muddy. They're slaves. You think that you have an attitude when it's after 5 o'clock on a Friday and you're still at work, all right? Imagine them. It was Friday after 5 every day for them. And they in the mud. Let me tell you something. I was working with a friend of mine the other day. They worked for the government, and their AC was off. He said, I've been home all week. I said, why? AC ain't working right. I said, you've been home all week? He said, I've been home all week. Good Lord, we are soft. These dudes are working in the Middle East in the sun. Slaves. So God said, chapter 3, verse 5. He says, I'm sending you to your own people. And guess what? They ain't going to listen to you just like they didn't listen to me. This is God speaking. I'm in verse 5 now, okay? Chapter 3, verse 5. So think about it here. They're in the mud. They're complaining. You don't have any food, you got barely got water, and now you got a job that you're going to fail at. God told you it ain't going to work. You're going to fail. Oh, how many of y'all be excited about that job, amen? You got a job you didn't want, and then the job you got, you were told you're going to fail. That sounds like a setup to me. But here's the thing. Not only are you going to fail, but they're going to have an attitude and ain't going to listen at all. So they're not going to just not listen. They're going to have an attitude. So as soon as you say something, they're going to like, they don't like, they're going to go, no, I'm not sitting there. I don't sit there, Mr. Usher. I sit up here. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to talk about y'all. They had an attitude. But here's what God said. God was time enough for them. He said, I made them just like you. You ain't no different. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't no different. See, it doesn't matter that he had an education. Doesn't matter he was studying to be a priest. He probably was down there like, well, you know, I ain't going to really roll with y'all like that because I'm getting ready to be a priest and everything, you know what I mean? But God said, guess what? I made them just like you. Touch your neighbor and say, we're just like each other. We need each other. So now, you understand what's going on. So now, Ezekiel got an attitude now, because if he didn't have an attitude before, he got one now. He's in the job he's going to fail at. He's with some people he don't really like. He's hot. Oh, and by the way, he's a slave. And then God said, you ain't no better than they are. I know. Somebody have, so think about it this way. We're in this city. I know Pastor was talking. He started saying that kingdom life is called to the city. And the biggest thing I said was, I don't even live in the city. Can I just be real with y'all? Can I be transparent with y'all? I said, I don't even live in the city. I don't bang with them like that. I live in Owens Mills. I don't roll with them like that. You know? Now, it didn't matter that I was from the city. You won't go there, right? I forgot that part. But I'm saying, I'm in Owens Mills. I don't roll with them like that. But guess what? God said, you just like them, and they just like you. You need each other. It didn't matter. I said, no, wait a minute. I'm educated. You might be a 13th in the government. Oh, wait a minute, I'm making six figures. I don't care if your bank account looks like a telephone number. Y'all are all the same, amen? You're all the same. So here's the point I'm making. I looked at that and I said, God, why would you tell them that they're all the same? He said, because here's what you got to understand. My outcome is the only outcome that matters. You cannot judge a project by the outcome. Because if you think that your outcome is your effectiveness, your outcome is someone receiving what you're saying, you got it all backwards. Amen? That's why people don't witness today. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? And it's not because you don't believe, you believe. The reason why you didn't say anything is because you thought they wouldn't receive you. Amen? That's the only reason why. I know. I'm not talking to the person next to you. Don't worry about it. You thought they wouldn't receive it. That's all. But you can't be worried about the outcome. Outcome ain't got nothing to do with you. When my son, who I love dearly, he was young. He was 13 years old. And quick story, y'all. It was so funny because it was frustrating. Because how many of y'all have ever had a teenage son? Yeah, it's not a game right there. There's a reason they say iron sharper iron. Because there's a whole lot of times I had some iron right here. I was like, let's stab him and make another one just like him. Because he didn't listen. And I went to my dad and I said, Dad, now he's 13. Now, since he's young, guess what? He ain't supposed to listen. He's 13, all right? That's what my dad said. He said, well, Glenn, he ain't supposed to listen. Don't worry about it. I said, no, you understand what he did, blah, 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 blah. He was like, oh, you did that too? I was like, Dad, you missed the point. I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about him. He don't listen to me. And then it dawned on me. It just dawned on me. He said, kids don't listen to what you say anyway. They do what you do. I said, whoa. I said, that don't even seem fair. And my dad said, Glenn, you don't even listen to you. He said, you don't even listen to you. How many times you going to say, you said you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you ain't done it either. So he's seeing you not listen to yourself, so he's just modeling you. You don't listen to you, so he don't listen to you. I was like, Dad, I'm going to call you back. Woo. Got me in the spirit now. Got me out of the spirit. Iron sharpened iron. If you want to make an impact on people, Vince Lombardi said, example is not the main thing, it's the only thing. You're the only Bible that most people will ever read. You're the only one. They might not ever pick up a word, but they're going to look at you. And I've said this before, ask yourself, if something goes down at your job, are they looking for you to pray with? Because they're going to pray. How many of y'all remember when the planes hit 9/11? Oh, it was a whole lot of praying going on that day. I remember I worked right outside of D.C., and I worked with some Iranians. I walked in my office, and the office next to me had a big TV in it, and all of them were surrounding around. It was an internet company. They were all surrounding around watching TV, and I walked up, and they're like, Glenn, let's pray. I was like, I don't pray to who y'all pray with. I don't care. Let's pray. Hey. Are they coming to you when it's time to pray? Amen. So, verse 16, God appoints Ezekiel as a watchman. Okay? And when he got a message from the Lord, now, chapter 3, verse 16, God said, tell the people what I said immediately. Say immediately. Say immediately. Don't wait. Because I'm giving you a job to do. You got one job. Don't change it. Tell them what I said immediately. And God said, I will hold you accountable, not for the outcome, but for the truth. My God. Let me tell you something right now. Don't you let what's going on in society change the truth of what you know. It doesn't matter how many people say a dumb thing. If 1,000 people say a dumb thing, guess what? It's still a dumb thing. I'm telling you right now, they're talking about abortion all over the place. My wife was a preemie. I am so glad my mom didn't get an abortion. Now, I'm not telling you which way to go, but what I am telling you is God is sovereign, amen? And truth is truth, amen? You ain't got to like it. It ain't got nothing to do with what you like, amen? But it has everything to do with God's truth, amen? I don't care what you stand on the situation. I stand on the same side that God stands on, amen? And it doesn't matter whether you're comfortable with it. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. I didn't write the book, neither did you. Amen? So you can't believe some parts of the word and not other parts of the word. It don't work like that. It's either true or it's not true. The front ain't true, but the middle is, and the back ain't, and this one is. No, it don't work like that. It's all true. And if you study it out, there are zero contradictions. Getting back to my teenage kids again, if you got teenage kids, you know they can. You'll always get a different version of the truth when you ask them something. Amen? But that's just like us when we see the word. We don't really want to change. We'll pick this word up and keep looking for it until we find something that says we can do what we don't know we should do. Amen? I hope that's okay to say. I don't care if it's not okay to say. I'm saying it. That's what God said. Amen? So God appoints him as a watchman. Get the message to them right away. Say it immediately because he's holding them accountable. And God begins to buffet Ezekiel. Puts him on his side for a year. They have to do the coming. I won't get into it, but it was pretty bad. But then, verse 22, he takes him up to a valley, and he shows him another vision. And then for the next, from 3 to 30, he gets visions, and God's speaking with him, and he's talking to the people. And most of it is just not good. Telling them that, hey, this is going to happen, this is what's going on. But 36, 7 is where we're going to go. Everything changes. Touch your neighbor and say, everything changes. 36, verse 7. I'll read it for y'all. So you can hear. And therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I have taken a solemn oath that those nations will soon have their own shame to endure. So in other words, stuff just ain't going to keep happening to you. And there's not going to be some stuff repaid back, amen? It ain't going to have to be repaid back by you, amen? But God knows, amen? Then here's the point. Then we go down to verse 22, okay, 36:22. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back. Say, I am bringing you back. But not because you deserve it. I'm doing it to protect my holy name. Hallelujah. When I think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me, because guess what? It should have worked out a different way. It could have worked out a different way. It should have worked out a different way. There's people that make the same decisions I made and it worked out completely differently for them. So I know it ain't just because I'm so special. You better get a hold of this word, amen? So now we're going to go to verse 33. This is what the sovereign Lord said. We started with this. When I cleanse you from your sins, I will repopulate your cities, and the ruins will be rebuilt. So why is that important to say revival? It starts with you. Revival starts with you. Point to yourself and say, revival starts with me. 2 Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Not your neighbor. Not the person that's saying whatever they're saying on Facebook. If my people, now if you ain't his people, he ain't talking to you. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, are you his people? Amen. But if my people, see, all it takes for good, for evil to prevail is good people to do nothing. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, so you can be called by God and still be proud. You can be called by God and still be wicked. Amen? Come on now. So if they return, seek this faith, turn from their wicked ways, they will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and what? Heal the land. So the healing of the land rests with you. Amen? I'm telling you. And then verse 33 says, I will repopulate your cities and the ruins will be rebuilt. Baltimore City has lost 7,300 citizens in the last 12 months. 7,300 citizens. At the same time, the state of Maryland has gained over 18,000 citizens. They're moving out of Baltimore, y'all. But here's the problem with that. Baltimore is the economic engine for the entire state of Maryland. The port does billions a year. This port here in Baltimore is the quickest way to the Midwest. They do billions a year, and they all come through the port of Baltimore. Amen? Billions. So as Baltimore goes, Maryland goes. That's why you should care. Amen? Now here's something else you may not know. Maryland is the wealthiest state in the nation, per capita. In the entire nation. Wealthier than California. Wealthier than Massachusetts. Maryland. Why should you care? Because as Baltimore goes, Maryland goes. And if Maryland is the wealthiest state in the nation, guess what? If Maryland's having an economic problem, guess what? The U.S. is having an economic problem. And if the U.S. is having an economic problem, guess what? The world's having an economic problem. You got what I'm saying? That's why you should care about Baltimore. Are you saying all that's connected? Yes, I am. You know better than anybody else. We're all connected, amen? Baltimore has over 16,000 vacant homes. 16,000 homeless out the yin yang. Those homeless places cost the city tens of millions of dollars in upkeep. Tens of millions of dollars. That's why the word says, I will repopulate your cities. Because God knows this is an economic engine. That's our word, KLC. We are called to Baltimore City. We're not called to Randallstown. We're not called to Reisterstown. We're called right here. Shout revival. 36, chapter 36, verse 37, it says, I am ready to hear Israel's prayer and increase their numbers like a flock. The ruined cities will be crowded with people once more, and everyone will know that I am God. Somebody shout revive. Okay, now that was all just the intro, amen? Now we're going to get into it. So I believe Ezekiel was just like I am. You can talk about revival all day long, but I need some details. Say details. I'm a details person, all right? Because I know when I think revival, you know what I thought? I thought church tent outside, hot chicken punch. That's what I was thinking. And night services, lots of them. That was revival, right? And no drum, just a tambourine and a washboard. Y'all don't know about no washboard? That was revival. That's what I knew about. And I didn't want no parts of it. None of it. Because to me, I couldn't understand it. But revival is an awakening of the church. It's the church standing up and saying, we ain't going to have it no more. So let's go to chapter 37. This is where we're going. This is one of my favorite words, Valley of the Dry Bones. So God gets a hold of Ezekiel. And let's go to chapter 37, verse 1. It says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor. Now, first of all, guess what? Ezekiel was trained as a priest. So right away, they ain't supposed to touch no dead thing. So that was a problem right there. That flew all over his theology right away. So he's probably in there like, I don't want to be next to the bones. But guess what? You're going to have to get involved. Something. You're going to have to get out your Mercedes, right? And go get with these people right now. Get out your car and give a dollar to the squeegee boys. You're going to have to get out your Mercedes, get out your Lexus, and go witness to somebody, amen? You might have to hug somebody that was on drugs. It's going to be all right. Amen? There's no difference in you. As Baltimore goes, Maryland goes. As Maryland goes, the U.S. goes. As U.S. goes the world. You're connected. Amen? So Ezekiel is in the Valley of Bones, and he's all in there. And God challenges him. He says, Son of Man. So you always know you're in trouble when you get the government name. When my mom said Glenn Earl James Jr., that's a country name, man. But when I got all of that, I knew I was in trouble. The rest of me, whatever I was doing, when I heard all of those things together in one phrase, I stopped what I was doing immediately. It was important. Say important. Sovereign Lord says, Son of Man, can these bones become living people again? That's a faith check. That's a faith check. You're with God who created the universe, and he asks you, can something be done? But it's a problem for Ezekiel, because guess what? His intellect says, how is that possible? But he knows he's with God, so he's smart. He goes, well, whatever you say. That's what he said. Lord, only you know that. Amen? So then listen to what he says. Now get this, y'all. He says, verse 4, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the servant Lord said. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. Say, live again. Woo, I'm telling you, this is getting good now. Here, you just missed the shout. You just missed the part of the shout right there, amen? Because some of y'all got some dry bones in your life. There's some things that's happened in your life that you've forgotten about, that you've given up on. There's dreams that you got. You said, I don't care. Maybe I'll never get married. Maybe I'll never lose the weight. Maybe I'll never own that business. It doesn't matter. It's a valley of dry bones in your life. But God's looking at you and saying, can that thing live again? Can it live again? Aren't you tired of just figuring out decisions? Aren't you tired of just not making a decision? You're just kind of doing the next thing that comes to you? Think about it. When you got your job, did you go for that job, but you just have to get that job? Amen? God is saying, you got dry bones in your life. Go get something. Can they live again? Only you know, Lord. So, the point I love about that is God tells Ezekiel what to say. Now, why is that important? Because God's word is powerful. And you can't just say what you want to say. You got to say exactly what God says. Why? Get in here because it takes faith to speak God's word. You can speak whatever you want, but when you speak God's word, things happen. Look at your neighbor and say, be careful what you pray for. See, saints' words have power. Amen? So you got to be careful there. So understand this. So here's what you got to understand. See, when God says something, things happen. It's directly in contrast to what the world says. See, God says, love your enemy. The world says, treat people how they treat you. God says, give it shall be given unto you. The world says, get it for they get it. Right? God says, if they hit you, turn the other cheek. And Glenn says, when I come back around. I'm sorry. That was me. I'm sorry. That was Baltimore. Sorry about that. Faith is the operating engine of the kingdom. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Y'all know this, but guess what? You're sitting on faith. You're walking on faith. You're sitting on the faith. You're part of faith. That's immediate faith. How's your faith? How many things have you called out that be not as though they were? Ask yourself. Look at this week and say, how many things have I called out? First Lady taught about that. She says, everything that comes out of your brain, throat, mouth, and incubator produces what you speak. Amen? That's why Matthew 21 says, with faith, you can walk up to a mountain and tell it to move. And it has to listen. Why? Because everything God created hears. Everything. Everything God created hears. Everything God created hears. That's why you can speak to it. So Ezekiel proved this. As soon as he starts prophesying God's word to those bones, guess what? It says there's a rattling going on. While he was speaking, the change didn't even let him finish his thought. While he was speaking, change started occurring.
So God's looking at you right now. If you would just look at that situation and start to speak to it, by the time that sentence gets out of your mouth, change is going to come. Come on, man. Come on, saints. You better hear me on this. Now, why is that important? Because guess what? Jeremiah said God is watching over his word to accomplish it. It ain't got nothing to do with you. When you speak God's word, he can't lie. So he's waiting for you to speak something so he can pounce on it and make it happen. So we were speaking. You might say, well, I ain't speaking nothing. See, it works. Now, don't get this twisted. I ain't talking about name and claim it. I'm talking about speaking what God said to you. Amen? I'm talking about evaluating the situation with God's eyes, not your eyes. There's a difference. There's a difference. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a difference. Pastor taught about Elijah hearing the mighty rainstorm coming. And at that point, there wasn't even a cloud in the sky. It's in 1 Kings. Wasn't even a cloud in the sky. What amazes me about that is when I think about that, I said, God, Pastor taught about what frequency was Elijah on, and I agree with that. But another thing I thought about is that Elijah heard a mighty rainstorm coming, and it wasn't a cloud in the sky. So what did he hear? What he said? He said it's a mighty rainstorm coming. So as soon as he said it, he heard. You know what I'm saying? So y'all listening? You're missing. The rainstorm came because Elijah said it was going to come. Not because, oh, hallelujah. Come on, y'all got to get with me here now. Didn't even see a cloud. You get what you speak. Elijah spoke that rain cloud into existence. So everything God created hears. Hallelujah. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, you're one word away from changing your future. See, everybody knows that except for the church. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows the word changes your future. That's why we write them down. That's why we got contracts. Because we know that the word you say changes your future. I think you ought to write a contract with yourself. So many times we start defining ourselves by the things we don't believe. Well, I don't believe in that. Okay, what do you believe? What do you believe? What are your non-negotiables? What are the things that you're not changing? If you don't know what they are, write them down and start living your life by your principles instead of the things that you don't want to happen. That's living your life in fear, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, Bernard, your words have life-giving power. Shoot, if you had good God sense, you'd touch your wallet and say, money grow right now, amen? I'm not joking around. Listen. If some rocks can listen to the word, stop. If some women can listen to the word, stop. If the donkey can speak, come on, man. You told me I can't speak to my finances? Come on, man. See, I believe this word. I believe it. I told myself, I said, Lord, I'm going to do what you say and I'm going to hold you accountable to your word because I know that you cannot lie, amen. So I'm going to tell you something. I believe, pick a piece of paper out when you get home tonight and write all the things down in your life that you do not like, that's not of God, that looks like the tail and not the head, that looks like below and not beneath, above. Come on now. Write it down and give it over to God. Speak over that thing. It doesn't matter what it is. Now I'm talking about people of God. Why are you sitting there accepting less when God gave you the key right there? Why? Touch your neighbor and say, revival. It's go time. Wake up. So revival starts with you. It's not just church punch. It's just not just a night service. Revival starts with you. Revival starts with you looking at your life and saying, this got to change immediately. This got to change now. Shout now. It's go time. A revival is an awakening of the church. It's people standing up and saying they're not going to take it. There has been 5 major revivals in the U.S. 5. Now, I'm not going to get all spiritual on y'all because I'm not going to be with me all day, but there's been 5. The last 2 are what most people are most acquainted with. Azusa Street, early 1900s, William Seymour and all of that. I mean, that's where the Pentecostal movement got birthed. It really was nothing but folks just praying a lot. That's all it was. And I'm telling you, just out of that, folks were walking past William Seymour's house, falling out slain in spirit. Walking past his house. I'm talking about, read it for yourself. I'm talking about folks were walking past his house and getting healed. They started off limping by the time, they couldn't barely walk by the time they got past his house. They were running, amen? God poured his spirit out, and that is reached through revival like never before. And again, it birthed the Pentecostal movement and the Holiness movement. And then it went on into the 70s with Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was filling up coliseums. And he had one message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is in hand. And it changed the generation. Changed the generation. Coming out of that 60s generation, and a lot of things was going on, and war and everything else, and Billy Graham is preaching repent. And folks, lives getting changed overnight. Before that happened, stadiums weren't getting filled for church services. It just won't happen. But that is a revival. When revival hits the land and the people of God humble themselves and pray, guess what? God heals the land. And he does it immediately. Look what your neighbor said, immediately. So God is saying revival is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's the other thing that makes important about revival. When Billy Graham was filling up the stadiums, the television ministry just started. So people can see what was going on. You had the ability to touch people. I always wonder how Jesus preached to all those thousands of people with no microphone. It's amazing, right? So, but imagine what he would have done with a microphone. Lord have mercy, right? So Billy Graham is now preaching, and the television ministry has started, and people can see the glory of God for themselves. See, until you see something, it doesn't really change. Amen? People got to be able to really see it. I mean, if the television had not broadcast some of those race riots and people getting hosed and things like that, America wouldn't have changed because they didn't see it. You know what I mean? If there's no body cam for the people to see what the police are actually doing, maybe things, I mean, if I tell you what, right now, when I look at some of that stuff that's going on with the police officers, there's a lot of good ones. Most of them are good. But when I see some of the bad ones, I look and go, that's been happening to us for years. That ain't nothing new. We knew about that already, amen? But when people see it, all of a sudden it's a problem, right? So the technology that's changing right now is, guess what? That little thing in your pocket, that phone. Folk can download a sermon right now. Amen? I can't tell you how many times pastors say, get the tape, and I forgot to get the tape. I didn't have the money. I didn't get it. Right? I mean, I had an excuse in the book. I forgot to get the CD. I didn't go get it from, you know, back. I forgot. It just, there were so many barriers. But right now, if you got your phone, you can download a sermon. And you don't just have to listen here. You can listen to other sermons. It doesn't matter. You can listen to sermons from 3 years ago. Amen? That's technology. It produces the word. It's a microphone in the hand of Jesus. Y'all got what I'm saying? Touch the that says the God is here. And it starts with you. Point one. And we land this point. Revival is here. It starts with you. A strong church means strong people. A strong church means strong people. You are not in a church where the pastor got the big car and everybody else is walking and catching the bus. That ain't happening. It flows on the head down. So guess what? Pastor rolling, I'm rolling, you rolling, we all rolling. Amen? You might need to change your frequency a little bit, but guess what? There's no reason why you should be rolling. And rolling doesn't always mean materialistic. It doesn't mean that. Maybe money doesn't mean anything to you. I get it. I'm with you. I understand that. But maybe you're rolling in relationships. Maybe you're rolling in love. Maybe you're rolling in forgiveness. Whatever it is, there's no lack in your life. Amen? Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Shall revival. Your mind is experiencing revival. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing perfect will. How many of y'all have ever wondered, what is it that God has for me? What's his will? All you got to do is renew your mind. Because then your will become God's will. Amen? Point two. Revival happens in order. Look at your neighbor and say, order. See, God is a process God. He's a process God. He doesn't do everything just kind of happenstance. He's a process God. The Bible says in the beginning, you know, God made, there was God, and he made the heavens and the earth, right? And they said, let there be light, and everything divided light. There was a process to it. He didn't just make everything all in one day and jump on it up. There was a process to it, amen? There's an order for your life. Everything has stages. So where Bible has steps and stages, God has order. When Ezekiel spoke to those bones, the Bible said that complete skeletons came together first. Touch your neighbor, say first. So your plan has to come together first. Some of y'all got plans in your mind, but you haven't written them down yet because you don't have a whole body yet. Go with the skeleton. Start with the skeleton first. Start first. Start where you are. Don't you let yourself procrastinate because you haven't got it all figured out. It's not relevant. It's part of the process. God is a process guy, amen? So the bones came together fully, flying through here. Came together fully. So I'm in 37 verse 7. He said, I spoke this message just as he told me. Hey, that's another point. Don't change God's word. Don't change it. Don't you dare change it. I spoke his word just as he told me, and then he said, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. So you have to trust what God put in you, that whatever plan you put on that paper, guess what? It's adequate. I mean, you're talking about bones that weren't just dry. They were very dry. That means they've been sitting there for a long time, right? What no smell, what no, I mean, imagine that, right? I mean, I'm just thinking these bones just kind of all jumbled up, right? Animals have probably taken them to different places and buried them and all this kind of stuff, right? But as soon as Ezekiel spoke the word, all the bones came back together. And it wasn't a hip bone stuck in the head or nothing like that. They were complete skeletons. So don't you worry about having everything perfect. Just start where you are, amen? Touch your neighbor and say, start where you are. Touch your neighbor and say, God is a process guy. So then, here's the thing, I'm in verse 8 now. Then I watched muscles, because guess what? After you speak it, shut up. Come on, man. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. But since you don't know what's happening, right, you start talking yourself out the blessing. When you speak the word, you believe the word, shut up. So he says, and then I watched muscles and flesh formed of the bones, and then skin formed to cover their bodies. See, people always see the last part of the process, the outside, first. You got what I'm saying? See, the skin is the only thing you can see. I mean, for all I know, I ain't got no bones in me. You don't know, right? Because you only see my skin, right? See, people always see the last part first, but they don't see all the sleepless nights. They don't see all the times you cry. They don't see all the times somebody rejected you. They don't see all the times somebody saw you before and threw it in the trash. They don't see all the times that you got an email and you sent an email and you didn't even get a return back. But let me tell you something. It only takes one person, Clayton. It only takes one person to accept your proposal. And guess what? Your response is on the way. Amen. It only takes one. It only takes one to make the 99 others irrelevant. Amen. See, you look at an egg. I watched a show the other day with my daughter, and there was a chicken that was coming out of the egg. It was a baby chicken. And it looked like it only happened in 10 seconds. And it was amazing to me. I said, wow. I didn't know it happened that quickly. But when I watched the program, it said that that process actually takes 21 days. 21 days. To go from embryo to chicken coming out. 21 days. How long does it take to create a habit? 21 days. How long does it take for you to go from embryo to change person? 21 days. Amen? Just because somebody's seeing that chicken at the end doesn't mean that there wasn't things happening all the time. Amen? Don't let people push you into believing that you should be where they think you should be. God is a God of process, and they don't have to know your process. Amen? It only takes one. We're going to land this plane here. Point number three. Shout revival. No zombies. No zombies. You know, I'm not a scary person. The living never scared me. I'm from Baltimore. I had no cousins here. I didn't have any brothers. If I got with it, it was just going to be me and, you know, whoever. That's what it was. I used to carry a screwdriver in my pocket. You know? And I had an adage. Look, if I, now I was, you know, if I got into a fight, you know, I could handle two of them. Three of them mean one of them three going to get it as bad as I'm getting, right? Now, four was a run. You know, and four meant I got to run. You know, good run means a bad stand. So that was my third. So if I'm walking on the street and I saw two dudes, I said, I can handle two dudes, they in trouble. I just got, you know, I wasn't, but three, I was like, okay, this might be an issue. Before, you know, I had to change something. So I was, that was my thought process, you know what I mean? So I didn't worry about people because I felt like they were just like I was, right? But in the dead, I never worried about either. When somebody died, they died. I didn't worry about it. You know, they gone on to another place. So they were dead, wasn't nothing to do. But the in-betweens, the zombies, right? At Night of the Living Dead and all that kind of stuff, y'all can have that, all right? I ain't want to see nothing that undead, was supposed to be dead, came back to life, all that kind of stuff. I ain't want no part of that. See, it needed to have, you know, your blessing is nothing without the breath of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how blessed you think you are. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're just a zombie. That's how you are. You can quote scripture all you want to. But without the Spirit of God, you're just a zombie. The devil quotes scripture all day long, twice on Sunday. Pastor said he can only say what God said. That blessed my socks off. Amen. But nah, no zombies in my life. See, this thing here is about relationship, not religion. See, all your arguments, all your procrastination is on the side of religion. It ain't got nothing to do with relationship, because relationship is simple. Spend time with somebody and the relationship is strong. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's what we're talking about here. We ain't just, so leave the religion out the door. We're talking about relationship here. So you want to improve your relationship, spend time with him. See, two can't walk together unless they agree. And so when you walk with God, you got to agree with him, because guess what? He ain't agreeing with you. Amen? You want your relationship with God to strengthen? Walk with him. Stop listening to the rumors. Stop listening to what somebody else said about God. Leave that rabbit foot, God won't bless me, that. Leave that alone. That's for somebody else. That ain't for you. You know what the word said. I read something the other day. It said, I actually was talking to a guy, and I said, hey, man, I pray for you. He said, well, you know, God helps those that help themselves. Y'all ever heard that? That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Not a place. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the complete opposite. Complete opposite. Guess what it says? It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. And it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The complete opposite. When I was young, I heard a preacher mess this up, and he said, money is the root of all evil. And I didn't know that that wasn't the word. But I grew up for a large part of my younger life saying, I don't want to be rich. Because I thought money, and he said, yeah, it's easier for a rich man to go to heaven than a camel. A rich man to go to heaven and all that stuff. I was scared to death. I didn't want no money. But my dad would give me money. I wouldn't even put it in my pocket. I would put it on the countertop. That's broken theology, y'all. That's broken theology, y'all. Get with God. See what he said, because the Bible says for the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? Some of the most evil people I have met are broke people. And some of the most generous people I've met are very wealthy people. So it really comes down to your heart. Amen? So what are you saying? Holy Spirit, breathe on us. You do the work. Don't let me walk around and be a zombie. Amen? Some of the worst things that can ever happen to you is you get what you prayed for. Amen? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to be transparent for a minute. Y'all remember when cell phones first came out, and there was a time when Sprint phone, you kind of judged people by the kind of phone they had. Or maybe that was just me. iPhone came out. If you had an iPhone, you was rolling, right? I'm talking about the first generation, right? Because you had to have good credit, right? And then if you didn't have good credit, what you had? Sprint. Guess what I had? Sprint. And I even had a good Sprint. I had like the all-you-can-eat package. Like I had a prepaid Sprint thing, right? But here's the point I'm trying to say to you guys. I can't say that.
I can't say that. Hallelujah. Ooh, apart from his spirit, I'm gonna go on. Apart from his spirit, you can't do a thing. That's all I'm gonna say. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shout with God. Y'all weren't ready for that. I'm trying to tell you, weren't ready for that. Point four: God will bring you out alive. Let me tell you. Let's go down to, let's see, 37:11. It says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. And they are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone.'" See, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's depression that's attached to it. If you want to see somebody depressed, typically it's because they think that their situation can't change. See, you cannot allow yourself to categorize a situation as unchangeable, because that breeds depression. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. If you had something in your life that was important to you, and you needed it that one time, and you wanted it to change, I guarantee, go back, dig it up. Go look at your old journals. Write it down again. Blow that dust off of it. God wants to do that thing for you. But you got to believe it. Don't let that thing make your heart sick, because here's the thing, what it says. It says that Israel's had lost all hope in captivity. They had become old, dry bones. The hope is gone. They said, our nation is finished. Our future is finished. And nothing could be farther from the truth. See, the Bible says, if you look at, let's see, verse 12, it says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves in exile and cause you to rise again. The Message Bible says, I will bring you out alive. See, you're coming out alive, it's a part of the process. Touch your neighbor and say, it's a part of the process. And it's not too late. I'm reading a book right now by Warren Buffett, and he says that 97, you know, the billionaire Warren Buffett, like billionaire investor, he said 97% of his money he made after the age of 52. 97%. Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. 99.7%. 99.7% he made after the age of 52. Touch your neighbor and say, it's never too late. Amen. So then it says, therefore, prophesy to the people and say to them, I will open up your grave, I'll cause you to rise, and I will bring you out alive. Shout revival! See, y'all not ready for no revival. Shout revival! Are you ready to walk into the hospice? Are you ready to walk into the hospice and talk to those people and say, come out of here? Are you ready to go into the hospital and say, be healed? Are you ready to decide to walk into that cancer ward and say, cancer is dead in the name of Jesus? I had a family member that was dying in hospice, and it was sad. They were doing that kind of death rattle kind of thing and everything, and I was like, oh my God. And the doctor said to me, they said, don't say that, they can hear you. Hearing is the last thing to go. You don't have to see the result. All you gotta do is speak the word, amen? And it doesn't matter if in the hospice. It doesn't matter if that situation is in the hospice and don't come on morphine. Speak the word. Touch your neighbor and say, speak the word. In the hospice, they had doped up my family member with morphine. And I said, well, what was morphine? He said, well, it makes it so they don't feel any pain. I said, really? He said, yeah. Morphine, get this now, it actually comes from the Greek god of Morpheus. It means to dream. That's where the term morphine comes from. And what it does is it suppresses your body's ability to want to breathe. I'm going to say it again. Y'all listen to me today. Morphine suppresses your body's ability to want to breathe. Don't take that morphine, amen? Now I'm talking about metaphorically here. Don't you let anything suppress your body to want to breathe the spirit of the Lord, amen? You got to speak to that thing, because your hearing is the last thing to go. There's some of y'all that got one foot in the church. If they say one thing to me, I'm out of here. If they say one thing, I'm going back to the bar. If one thing happens, I'm going back to the club. You better put that morphine away. Hear the word. Speak the word. Amen. Amen. Somebody shout revival.
The dry bones are coming up all in your life, and I'm telling you, God is saying today, this is not me preaching, this is a word for you today. Amen. Most holy and gracious Father, we thank you for the word that came forth today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for the word that came forth today. We thank you for the word. Oh, hallelujah. I hear you, Holy Ghost. All eyes closed. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revival is here. And it starts with us. There's someone in here that's having problems in their marriage. And God has been speaking to me about that for the last 3 days. They're having problems in your marriage. And you need a revival. You need a change. You need something different. You've allowed unforgiveness to creep in. You've listened to others that are outside of your marriage. And it feels like your marriage is unrepairable. It feels like you're living in a state where nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. But I'm here to tell you right now, nothing could be farther from the truth. Revival is here. There's somebody that comes to church without their husband every Sunday, and they're praying earnestly for their husband, and they've gotten used to the fact that maybe he just ain't gonna come to God. I'm here to tell you right now, the devil is a liar. God is a restorer. Revival is here, and that includes you. There's someone right now that has just decided that this is my lot in life. I'm going to be single till I die. But they desire to be married. And if you're single and happy, I'm not talking about you. Enjoy your singlehood. But if you desire to be married, there's somebody in here that said, I desire to be married. But it's been so long. And I'm old now. I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. And that revival is here. There's somebody right now that has been dealing with a sickness and an illness, and the doctor said that there's nothing they can do but just maintain it. The doctors have told you that all you have to do is just do what they say and we're going to make you comfortable. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. God died for that sickness. And it's nothing but the opinion of man anyway, amen? There's someone in this room that's having multiple money issues. Every time you turn around, it seems like you got holes in your pockets. But revival is here, amen? And the revival starts with you. God wants to restore you like never before. He wants to restore your marriage. He wants to restore your health. He wants to restore your money. He wants to restore your frame of mind. There's somebody in here that they've gotten so negative that even when things seem to be looking up, they're looking for the bad thing to happen. They're expecting the bad and not the good. But I'm here to tell you right now, the devil is a liar. Can I have everyone standing, please? Everybody just grab hands. Saints, I need you praying. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, KLC. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revival is here. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, KLC. Revival is here. Hallelujah. It's not just a night service. These are lives being changed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. It's people awakening to say it doesn't have to be that way. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Get ready, KLC. Because there's gang members that are coming in here. They're tired of that lifestyle. They're coming in here in the droves. There's couples that are coming in here that their marriage is in a shambles and they're on their last leg and they're coming in here in droves. There's people that are coming in here, they're going to put their droves right on the altar, right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, revival is here in the name of Jesus. There's people that are coming here with their entire home in a backpack because they're homeless. Revival is here. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, KLC. Let's look to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. If you were one of those married couples, if it's you, your husband, if y'all are both here, but just a single, and you have a challenge in your marriage, and you want to experience a revival in your marriage, I implore you, come right down front, amen? Come on, this is serious right now. Nobody's judging you, nobody's talking about you, nobody's looking, they're worried about their own marriage. If you have problems right now, and some of y'all, that might be part of the problem, you too proud, amen? You don't want nobody to know your business. But you need to admit that there's a problem. Because it's not supposed to be that way. Amen? Come on. Who am I talking to in here today? If you got a problem in your marriage, you need to get down here right now. Revival's here. It ain't supposed to be that way. Hallelujah. You better hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 This ain't no grass foot hocus pocus at all. Ain't nobody thinking about you. You ain't nobody talking about you. Come down and get some help. This ain't a club, it's a hospital. It's a hospital. God moves in stages. Hallelujah. Just surrender to God right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need all my elders praying right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, a strong church starts with strong marriages right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree strong marriages in the name of Jesus right now. I declare and decree that the men stand in their homes and they stop taking whatever the devil gives to them. Father God, I join hands right now with these couples in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And I declare that their marriage will live and not die. I declare that their marriage will be a place of sanctification. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that there has to be peace in the name of Jesus. I declare right now there has to be an example in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, Lord, 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 right now, L marriage is strong, amen? Satan's trying to shift us this week, sift us this week. He's trying to take out all the men. But I'm not having it. The men in this church ain't having it. We're standing up right now in the name of Jesus. So y'all look to the Lord here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this service today, Lord. We thank you for every heart and mind that you've touched in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all you've done, Father God, and all you're about to do. We thank you that right now revival is here. We thank you right now, Lord, that revival is hitting every one of our houses, Father God. We thank you, Lord. And we speak in faith right now, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for what's happening, what's changing in our lives, Father God. Lord, close our mouths if we're not speaking your word. Lord, let no negative come out of our mouths. Lord, help us understand that we predict our futures. Father, we give you all the honor, praise, and glory, Lord, for what you've done in our lives, Lord. We ask for your traveling mercies as we go home, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, because you're worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And now the people of God said amen. Y'all dismissed, amen. Hallelujah.